We'll be reading today and studying from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, and we will go through verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin in verse 10. Remember, the context here is about Paul talking about a problem at Corinth, and he addressed that problem in the book of 1 Corinthians. The problem was that there was a member of the church at Corinth who was living in sin. In fact, he was in the sin of fornication. Paul told the church there to withdraw from that man, and they did. They didn't argue with Paul, and they certainly didn't ignore what he said. They obeyed Paul's instruction, and the Bible says that it turned out well, because the man that was living in sin, after the church withdrew from him, repented. And now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, since he's repented, then forgive him, receive him back, and reassure him. Let him know that you love him. Paul said, I forgive just like you forgive. And I forgive because of the Lord, because he teaches us to forgive. That's what he's talking about in verse 10. He says, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Jesus teaches us to forgive other people. As a matter of fact, he says that if we're going to be forgiven by God, then we have to be forgiving to other people. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. So here, Paul said that he forgave just like they forgave. They forgave this man of the sin that he had committed because he repented. And now, Paul said, it is necessary to forgive because if we don't forgive when we should, Satan will take advantage of us. That's verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, fit these two verses together, because verse 11 does tie into, it does connect to verse 10. Well, in verse 10, Paul talks about the fact that he forgave just like these Corinthians forgave. And he shows that it's necessary to forgive so that Satan does not get an advantage of you. That means that when we're unforgiving, when we're hardened in our heart, when we're cold and calloused and unforgiving of people that need our forgiveness and that we should forgive, Satan is going to take that hardened heart and he's going to make it worse. Satan is going to take that stubbornness and he's going to make us even more prideful. He's going to take that resentment and that anger, and if he can, he's going to turn it into hate. So the Bible says that Paul cautions them, and he observes here that he and they are not ignorant of how the devil works. We are not ignorant of his devices. The word devices there comes from a word which means purposes or thoughts. Now, this means that the devil plans. The devil schemes. Satan devises evil against us. Whatever he does for a reason. And we see him doing this throughout the Bible. Whenever Satan says something to mankind, he's doing that for a reason, and he's not doing it for man's good, but he always tries to make man think that he's telling him something or trying to get him to do something for man's good, and that's always a lie. In Genesis 3, verse 1 through 4, Satan comes to Eve, and what does he do from the very beginning? He questions God. He said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? What's he trying to do there? Well, he's trying to get Eve to doubt God. He's trying to get Eve to feel that God was too hard. And as a matter of fact, he's trying to get Eve to think that God lied to her and Adam, and that God was being unfair to them. This is one of Satan's favorite devices today. To this very time, Satan still does this. When you look at the book of Job, you find that Satan tried to turn God against Job. So whatever he said to God, he lied, He misrepresented, and he tried to turn God against man here in this case. But the Bible tells us in Job chapter 2, verse 3, that God told Satan, "You moved me against him." That is, you tried to turn me against him, to destroy him without cause. What are we looking at? We're looking at the fact that Satan is always scheming. He always has these devices, like Paul said. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 10, we find the devil tempting Jesus. And every time he comes to Jesus, he's twisting what God said. He's trying to misrepresent and lie about a situation to try to get Christ to sin. These are his devices. These are his schemes. Satan always has a plan for things that he does and a reason for what he says. And that is to lure man to sin. He always lies, and he always makes sin look good. So this is what we see him doing throughout the New Testament. In John 13, verse 2, the Bible says that the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Where did Judas get the idea to go to the chief priest and to ask for money so that he could turn Jesus over to those Jewish officials? Where did he get that thought? The Bible says that came from Satan himself, John 13, verse 2. In Ephesians 6, verse 16, the Bible says to take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of Satan. Those fiery darts of the Roman army were spears and arrows and other weapons that were set on fire and then shot at their enemy so that it would do the greatest damage. That represents how the devil operates today. That represents his devices or his schemes. He casts, he throws, or hurls those ideas or those thoughts into our hearts to try to get us to do something that's wrong. He might cast into someone's heart a feeling of lust, or an idea of pride, or an idea of hate, or the thought of unbelief. But he does that to stir people up. He throws into our minds suggestions of greed and jealousy so that we will turn from God and turn to him. The Bible says these are his devices. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." We need to remember that Satan is smarter than we are. He is stronger than we are. And that means that we have to listen to God and seek his help if we're going to overcome Satan. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." In James 4, verse 7, the Bible says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." In Ephesians 4, verse 27, Paul said, "Don't give place to the devil." And if you look at the verse just before that passage, you'll see what Paul is talking about. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, Paul said, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Don't give the devil an opportunity to take hold of you. Don't give the devil an opportunity to take advantage of you. Don't give him that place. Don't give him space or room to work on your heart. And that especially happens when we're mad, when we're angry, and when we stay angry. The devil can really take advantage of that situation. So Paul said, don't let him do that. Make sure that you study the Bible. Make sure that you believe the Bible. And remember what John said in 1 John 4, verse 4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, as we move on in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we want to look at verses 12 and 13 now. And remember, as you look at these verses, what the overall context is. Remember what Paul has been talking to these people about, and it will help you to fit these sections together better. Back in chapter 1, remember that Paul said that he had indicated to them that he was going to come to Corinth to visit them. But he said that he changed his mind about that. Now, evidently, what some of those members at Corinth did was to criticize Paul about his change of mind. And some of them might have gotten the impression that Paul didn't really care about them and that he was lighthearted and maybe even wishy-washy. But Paul shows them in this section that he was concerned about them. That's why he didn't go. He had his reasons for not going. Now, to further emphasize the fact that he had deep concern for them, he's bringing up this point or this situation in verses 12 and 13. In verse 12, he said, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Now, Paul talks about a situation where he was in Troas. He was there to preach the gospel of Christ. And the Bible says that there was an open door. He had a good reception there. There was a great opportunity to preach the gospel at Troas. And Paul was preaching the gospel there. That was the good side of his work at Troas. The bad side was that he couldn't find Titus. He said, "I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus my brother." Now, that tells us that evidently Titus and Paul were supposed to meet at Troas. That was the plan. Paul made it, but Titus didn't. Now, when Paul got there, he's doing a good work. He's preaching the gospel, and people are receptive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he's really bothered because Titus didn't show. Now, why is he so bothered that Titus is not there? Well, obviously, he's going to be concerned about Titus. He's going to be concerned about him personally. But it's not just because of his personal concern for Titus, the individual. It's because, evidently again, Titus was supposed to meet Paul in Troas and tell Paul about the condition of the church at Corinth. Titus was supposed to meet up with Paul at Troas and tell Paul how the church at Corinth was doing. Remember the background to that situation. Paul had heard that there were real problems in the church at Corinth. So he wrote that letter, the letter of 1 Corinthians. And remember that that was a stinging epistle. That was a letter in which he told those people that they were acting like babies, that they needed to be ashamed of themselves, and in short, he told them they needed to repent. Now, when he wrote that letter, he tells us earlier in this chapter, 2 Corinthians 2, that he cried many tears when he wrote that letter. It hurt him to say those things. So Paul is anxious to find out how they're doing. He wants to know if they're doing better. He wants to know how they took that letter. He wants to know how they feel about him. And so Paul said, "When I couldn't find Titus in Troas, even though I was doing a good work there, even though the people were receptive and there was a great opportunity there, I left. I left and I went to Macedonia because I wanted to find Titus so that I could find out about how you were doing." Now, what he's doing here is he's telling these Corinthians how important it was for him to know about their state. He had a great opportunity and he was doing a great work in Troas, but he said, "I left that opportunity just so, or especially so, that I could find out how you were doing in the church at Corinth." And as he explains that situation to these Corinthians, they're going to see even more how much the Apostle Paul loved that congregation.